You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the Rangers Today Baseball Podcast. From the bus leagues to the big leagues, the Rangers Today Baseball Podcast has got you covered. Here's Jeff and John.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Rangers Today Baseball Podcast. This is episode number 110, and today, Kobe Lewis is going to join us, and today it's brought to you by Premier Properties. This episode, along with all spring training games, all spring training episodes, is brought to you by Premier Properties. Whether you're buying, selling, leasing, our own investment properties, Premier Property can help you out. Go to swdallasrealty.com. That's SW, like Southwest, dallasrealty.com. DM me for more info if you want it on Twitter, Facebook, wherever we're friends at. You can also go to rangerstoday.com and hit the link at the top of the page. Thanks to Premier Properties for doing that. Okay, bud, we got Kobe's coming up. Before we get into Kobe Lewis, though, it was a sad day yesterday. The Texas Rangers lost, and I think it's time to just take a second to stop down and talk about Hector Ortiz. I never really met Hector. In passing, we have said hello.
Uh-huh.
You knew Hector.
Sure. Yeah. I went to Instructs maybe 21 or 22, and I was like, man, who's that skinny guy? And it was Hector. And Hector had been dealing with cancer. He'd had surgery. And, but he was still out there coaching and feeling good and optimistic. And, I mean, that was a couple of years ago, and I think it was a pretty tough case of cancer. Not that any of them are easy.
Obviously.
And, he lived in Peoria right there near Surprise with his wife and kids. And, Tony Beasley had been visiting him in the hospital here, during spring training at the Mayo Clinic. And, just one of those things where it didn't end the right way. And so, you feel bad for the guy, the family, obviously, a lot of people in the organization, a lot of former players. I saw Robinson Chirinos tweet something out. Derek Holland tweeted something out. He touched a lot of lives, and, probably the first time I remember hearing about Hector was when Jorge Alfaro was a prospect in the system. And, Rangers are like, well, we're going to get him with Hector and he'll be fine. And, Jorge Alfaro is still bouncing around the major leagues. I mean, he turned into a major league catcher. So
yeah,
a lot of people are feeling this one. And, super nice guy. Never heard a bad word about him or from him. Just enjoyed talking to him. Nice guy to be around. He had a long professional career. He spent a lot of it in the minor leagues, but he had some time with the Royals and then the Rangers there in 2002. I think he got into 7 games. So you hate to hear stuff like this. Only 54, leaves behind, like I said, leaves behind the wife and the 3 kids. And it's going to be tough for them, but hopefully they remember the good times, and hopefully there have been some the last few years.
Well, from us here, everyone at Rangers Today and the Rangers Today Baseball Podcast, obviously our thoughts and prayers are not only out with Hector's family and all of them, but with the whole Rangers organization. This was obviously, just from what I saw yesterday, it was felt deep within the organization. Sure. And there was a lot of people that were very, very sad about it. Wish I'd have known him better. He was so, I mean, anytime you'd run by and you could say, hey, and he'd say hello. I mean, yeah. I never nice. Sat down and talked to him.
Super nice guy.
Yeah. That, and I was only there the 1 year with him. That was 2019 and 20. He was with the Rangers. But we never got around him in 20. We weren't allowed to get around him in 20. Yeah. So we weren't doing that. Hector, rest in peace, buddy. Your family, we know you were loved by everybody, but, well wishes to you and your family and everyone else. Okay. Let's go to, big league stuff. First of all, we're going to be there.
That's right.
We're a few days away. Wednesday, we fly out the 6th. We will be there from the 6th to the 12th. So a lot of new video stuff's going to be coming out. We'll be splitting up during the days. We try to stay together, but I like to go look at things. We'll get videos together, watch the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Hit subscribe, hit the button down there. Lots of videos are going to come out on the YouTube channel between Jeff and I both. And might even do some live streaming there too. I do think Jeff and I are probably going to do a few live streaming shows with Q&As at night. We'll figure it out if we get some time to do that. That'll be great. It'll be on Facebook. It'll be on YouTube, whatever. With our new Odyssey and what we're doing now, you guys will be able to interact. You'll be able to send in questions right there. Just comment questions. We'll be able to put them up on here and answer questions. But every night we can sit down or try to. I mean, look, the schedule is different, but we can try to sit down. We can hook up, go live, and answer questions or talk about what we saw that day.
Yeah, it can't get in the way of drinking beer, though.
I mean, that's true.
That's important. But also, got that time zone, time change. Daylight savings is coming up, and
that's right.
We'll go from 1 hour ahead of Arizona to two. So
that's right.
Crazy things happen while you're in Arizona. But
absolutely,
you know, I'm dying to get back. You know, I have a contract with my wife that I can't take any trips any longer than 10 days ever since we had kids. So I maxed out the first trip and I'm wishing I was still there. Obviously I love my family and want to see the kids and their practices and all this stuff. So, it's a fair deal.
Yep.
And, but I'm looking forward to going back. So then we'll come back and then I'll be home for 4 or 5 days and then we'll go again, or I'll go again.
You'll go again. I won't go back again. This is my one trip. And, you know, we talked about even going earlier, guys, but like you said, with your family obligations, I've got my family obligations.
Right.
I got a son in a play in Missouri, and I've also got a son doing a robotics competition. So I'm driving all over the country tomorrow. Starting tomorrow, I go to Waco. Then I go to Missouri Saturday, get back Sunday night, and I start packing it up and get ready for Arizona.
All right.
And we had to get our, conflicts out of the way when we were getting this trip planned. So
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and I got another one out of the way, which I'd done so beforehand. Maybe we could have altered our schedule, but we're good now. So
we're good to go. Okay, yep. So the live shows are something's going up. Okay, let's talk about the elephant in the room. I'm going to talk about the elephant in the room. This is kind of funny. It's way too early for this, but I would say that the biggest elephant in the room right now about spring training, and it doesn't mean a damn thing. I'll stress that over and over. But Wyatt Langford is 1-for-8. With 5 strikeouts, the guy that's supposed to come in, make this team and be a star on this team out of that. You know, look, is it concerning? Sure. But it's also, this kid was, a lot was put, everything was talked about Wyatt Langford coming in, big league camp, got a chance to make this team, all of that. I've said it all along. I mean, at first I was adamant in when I said, I think he ought to go down just for a little bit and get some more ABs. More than anything, more than even ABs, he's not a great left fielder. That's defense is kind of his game he needs to work on more. He was a catcher coming out of high school, caught his first year at college. Then he played outfield. He's an athletic dude, and he is one of the most athletic dudes I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So he will be a great outfielder, so it wouldn't hurt. But you brought up great points about if he made this team, if he became a candidate for Rookie of the Year, he made Rookie of the Year. There's extra draft picks that could come with that.
Yeah.
Obviously. So I'm like, okay, well then good. I can tell you this. This is what I can guarantee you. If he is one of the best 9 hitters on the big league team, he will make this team out of spring training. Bruce Bochy is not going to go, well, let's give him a couple weeks. If he is one of the best 9 hitters on this roster, he will make this team.
Yeah. I think he's going to make the team. I did a opening day roster projection, Wednesday. It's at rangerstoday.com, which you can read for $5.99 a month or $35 for 6 months or $60 for a year. We had a spring training sale that went well, and it might be coming back. But in the meantime,
you gotta do one while I'm there.
Go and read it. The spring results don't look great right now, but how are the at bats?
That's the
thing. Are they good at bats? You know, and those are things that you can't get from game tracker. You know, is because only a few ballparks have game tracker where it's pitch by pitch and everything like that. You know, and is he working deep counts? Is he is he on time? You know, just things like that. And also the Rangers and we and in the media, we don't know. Like, is he traditionally a slow starter? Like at Florida,
yeah.
Did he start slow? Right. I don't know. You know, did it take some time leading up to games for him to get going? And Right. Maybe it did. And I don't think the Rangers are too worried about it. I mean, now if he hits 100 the whole spring, and then they'll have a decision to make. But I do think he's on the roster. I think that there are ways to hide the defensive deficiencies, whatever ones there are, by DHing him and running Adolis through there, and even Evan Carter DH days, or whatever you got to do. And then also, I think if the Rangers are without Corey Seager for any length of time to start the season, they're going to want a little more offense. And
yes,
and Wyatt Langford is offense, and so. Yeah, I wouldn't worry too much about it right now.
It's eight at bats.
Yeah,
I've seen the chatter. That's why I brought it up, the elephant in the room. The chatter's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, is there I've even seen as far as is this a bust? You know how some of these people are.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But all along I've said first of all, you've said this more than anybody. Can't pay attention if he had jumped out right now and he was 5-for-8 with 2 bombs,
yeah,
and an OPS of 1.6 or whatever it was, because he's it's still 8 at bats. He's right. Still got to get through the spring,
yeah,
and he still may need. They may see something that says maybe we ought to give him a couple weeks or something like that.
Yeah.
Now they could also see something right now and be going, pay no attention to 1-for-8.
Yeah.
I'm loving what I'm seeing. I'm loving what his approach is at the plate. He has seemed to swing early in counts.
Well, that's all
Corey right. Seager does that. Corey Seager's an ambusher. Yeah.
Josh Hamilton did that.
They do.
You also rely on what the scouts are seeing, what people saw during like live batting practice, what they see during batting practice. And during live batting practice, and Mike Maddox comes up to you and he goes, man, this guy can really hit. And then if anybody read the Jeff Passan story at ESPN, the Rangers are acting like this is the second coming. So they're not going to put him in a bad situation.
No.
You're going to put a young guy in the best situation to succeed.
But they don't play games either. Go ahead, finish.
But give him time. He's gonna be in camp for a long time.
Well, what I appreciate that the Rangers have done, it started with JD, and I hope Chris Young carries it on. They do not manipulate service time. If you are good enough to be on the big league roster, they'll put you up there. They did it with Elvis Andrus. They got him up there. They don't seem to manipulate service time if they can help it. If they think you're ready, they'll get you.
Yeah, they might have conceivably with Derek Holland in 2009, other than that, I can't really think of any examples off the top of my head. Now there's incentive to not do that. That's a big part of the collective bargaining agreement with the draft pick.
Right.
So we'll see what happens. But people who are
people who are
panicking are just stirring the pot. They're just being ridiculous.
Okay. They're being ridiculous. So that's another reason I can't wait to get there. I want to, I missed him at Frisco. I don't know why if I did, I don't remember seeing him, but he was not there real long. And then he's the guy that got there late in the season. Then he ended up going up to AAA, but I want to see him in person. We've had him on. He's a great kid when he came on.
Yeah.
A lot of fun to talk to. Can't wait to see him in person, but you can see that too. I went and saw Jordan Lawler. You know who he is?
Oh, yeah.
He was taken number 2 or 3 sixth. Over. Or six.
I think he fell to 6.
By the Diamondbacks. Played on the World Series roster. They brought him up. He played in one game. I went and saw him play at Jesuit High School. All that year, I think that's the Jack Leiter year that they took Jack Leiter.
I think it was the Rocker year.
Is it the Rocker year?
Okay. I think so.
In either one, they had a top 4 or 5 pick. The Rangers did. There was a lot of talk about Jordan Lawler, whether he was going to be there for them to take. So I went and go watch this kid. He went 0-for-4 in the game. Now, I'm telling you, that's why I'm saying how early it is. He went 0-for-4, and there was no doubt whatsoever he was far and away the best player on the field.
Yeah.
He hit a foul ball. No, I'm sorry, he went 1-for-4, but his hit was a pop-up that was so high the second baseman couldn't get under it. He hit a line drive for a foul ball and almost killed Brian Jones, who was his third base coach.
Oh, geez.
I've never seen – he was lucky he moved his head out of the way because he stroked an inside right down the third base line. That thing must have been going 110 miles an hour.
Yeah, that's pretty funny because the only time I ever saw Bobby Witt play in high school, he was just amazing. Yeah. So, yeah. You just catch him on the right day. But of course, Bobby Witt is now a superstar and
yes,
going to make a pile of money, what, 280 from the Royals. So
Royals got a deal.
Good for him. But yeah, I wouldn't worry about Dwight Langford. I wouldn't worry about anybody right now. You know, and honestly, like, you know, Josh Spores had his first outing yesterday, gave up a couple runs, a big deal. He's probably still building velocity.
These guys are working things.
But the starters have all been pretty good. But it's early, you know. You know, the pitchers are supposed to be ahead of the hitters. So that's another thing.
Yep.
You know, the pitchers have been in camp a week longer. And anyway, again, results at this point
mean nothing.
I mean, they're 1 week into games.
Absolutely.
So
it's funny.
They're not playing every day.
And remember this too, when they're splitting these rosters up, when Wyatt Langford isn't in the lineup today, doesn't mean he's not facing live batting practice back on the backfields today. So
right, or doing something.
Or simulated games or doing whatever. I can't wait to see him. But it was funny to watch. That's why it was the big elephant in the room. You know, is this a bust? Whatever it is, because you know me, I like to over-exaggerate. I'll over-exaggerate again. Yesterday was a game of aces, Yamamoto versus Bradford.
Awesome.
In the big stud pitchers for each team. And I got to tell you right now, Yamamoto, from what I saw, was as advertised. He really moved the ball around a good. Evan Carter got a hit off of him.
Yeah.
But Bradford matched him two innings, one hit. Got out. They both threw double play balls to get out of innings, and both two scoreless innings.
Yeah, you know,
so they're the same player.
Exactly the same.
They are the same player.
Same contract and everything.
Yep.
I wrote about this today in the newsletter.
Yes, that's fine.
Cody's competing for a spot, and he wants to start. You know, yeah. He doesn't want to be a reliever. He wants to be on the team, of course. And if they say, "All right, you made the team, but we need you to work at a bullpen,"
he will
do so with a smile on his face. But you kind of look at what everybody else who's competing for that job has done. He gave up the one home run in his first start. You know, no one's been unblemished in that role. So,
no.
Good for him. He appears to have, I would say he's the front runner at this point. It's still very, very early, sure. But he's going to be on the roster. He's going to be one of the Rangers' best 13 pitchers in camp.
Right now, yeah.
The Rangers love him. He's unflappable out there. He's not afraid. You know, I mean, he throws the ball 88, 89 miles an hour.
Sure.
You know, I know he can get it up to a little higher than that, but you see a lot
of guys are Bill Velo right now too.
You see a lot of eights, but he throws it for strikes. It's got deception on it, commands it. And then his changeup is really a great pitch. And yeah. He's working on a curveball. We're refining it. So, he knows he's just prepared. That's the other thing. They never thought he was not prepared. He's unflappable. You saw, you know, we asked him when he was on our show a couple weeks ago, what's going through your system when you're this rookie and you get called into a big situation in a big game at Baltimore? He goes, I don't know.
Make my pitches.
It was just baseball.
Yeah. Got to throw strikes.
You know, that kind of stuff gets people a long way. And we talked to Mike Maddox about him at the live show over at Hop and Sting Brewing Company in Grapevine, and Mike just kind of lights up when he talks about,
oh my gosh,
about Cody Bradford. So
yeah, he had nothing negative to say about Cody Bradford. So he really likes him.
We like Cody.
Yes.
Yeah, and he's got a real good shot. And Yamamoto, hey, I'm sorry I missed it.
I've seen highlights. I didn't watch.
Well, I mean, I don't care what he did on the field. I'd be more interested in seeing all the guys from Japan, all the media guys from Japan who I like, and. But you know, it's a big deal, obviously in Japan, it's a big deal in the United States too. Sure. Otani made the drive up from Glendale and watched him. And, so it was a circus. I'd imagine, you know, when Yu Darvish, his first day in camp was nuts. And, the Rangers, to accommodate the Japanese media, they had like trailers for them to sit and work, and then they had tents, a tent just for you, and
to do press conferences,
which he did before he started and after he started, and they ended up running other guys into the tent eventually, but it would kill the grass in the courtyard area, so nobody liked the tent, especially TR hated the tent, but it was it was just a circus, and more guys have come along, but, you know, Ohtani obviously was a huge deal. Yamamoto is a huge deal. When Rory Sasaki comes here in a couple of years, he's going to be a huge deal, throwing 100 miles per hour. So, but it's fun. And these Japanese riders work so hard, and God bless them. And, you know, they show up every day ready to go, happy. They're covering ball. It's one guy, but they're covering ball. I guess now it's two with the Dodgers, but yeah, that's something I got to figure out. Do they have a Yamamoto guy and an Ohtani guy, or do they have to do it both? So I'd imagine hey, well, these the guys, workload's not too bad.
And you know them. So these guys live in Japan, but they just spend the year here.
Well, some of them do. Some of them live in Japan, and some of them are relocated from Japan. That happens too. But like Sam Onoda, who works for NHK, he lives in Los Angeles, and he's lived here for a while. He was back and forth growing up. Hiroki Toda, a buddy of mine, he's not covering baseball right now, but he's been all over the place, and his family's with him now in New York. But he was covering the Olympics in the last 5 years leading up to Tokyo, and then COVID hit and he got stranded in London away from his family. And they work hard. They're away from their families, and but they show up, and they're, you know, I consider them friends and part of the gang. So anyway, but yeah, Yamamoto, pretty good, it looked like.
Yep. Okay. Let's go to your, I love doing roster predictions.
Oh, boy. All right.
Go into your thing. So I do like, let's see, do I disagree with anything? I see exactly what you've got on your starting rotation. I think the bullpen was going to be the fun one. So you've got Evaldi, Gray,
yeah,
Dunning, Heaney, and then you've got, of course, Bradford that you've got taking the fourth spot or fifth spot.
Yeah. Those are kind of the five that entered spring in the lead, and four of those five pitched most of the season in the rotation last year. So I thought that was pretty easy.
It's pretty easy to go with. So you've got your bullpen, which I like. You've got Leclerc, obviously. Robertson, obviously. Spores, easy pick. Yates, Yates had a good outing.
He did have a good outing.
He had a good outing. He was touching 93, they said, but these guys are still building up.
Well, that's about what he's got nowadays. But he's never been a huge guy on velocity. He's got the split finger. That's his big deal.
Now you've got Jonathan Hernandez.
Yeah.
Brock Burt, all to me, pretty easy to go with. But here's where you got now Danny Duffy. I think we've all kind of thought Danny Duffy, he could even make that fifth spot
right
in the rotation too. But Jake Latz.
Yeah. You know, they called him up late last year. He really found, like, in May like 17th, his ERA was over 9 at AAA. And it finished right around 4. He figured some things out. He worked, did well in one inning in shorter stints. It's a former starter. And they kept him with the team. He could, you know, he got called up in September, and when Ian Kennedy had to go on the injured list, and the Rangers kept him with them through the whole postseason.
Right.
So he was with them soaking in all that stuff, all the experience. He was throwing live BPs, between series and staying active and ready to go. And I just think, you know, a couple people have mentioned that he's got a real good chance to make the roster. And, you know, he's a little bit older now. I mean, he was drafted, I think, in 2017 or 18. I mean, it's been a while. He had a strange college experience. But anyway, he's a nice guy. Seems like he feels like he's figured some things out on how to pitch, the art of pitching. And look, you know, there's always a surprise.
Yeah.
There's always a surprise addition to the roster, and I could see Mark Church making the roster. He's been pretty good. So anyway, yeah. So I went with Lats, and then Duffy, you know, he needs to get his velocity up, which probably will come. But he's former teammates with Chris Young, and Chris Young's assistant Dayton Moore was the GM for the Royals those years when Duffy was there. So I'm kind of playing, it's not nepotism, but I think that he has an advantage because of that. And I mean, but he's good. He pitched really, really well in Puerto Rico. And he also was with the team at times during the postseason. So A great guy too. So, that's how I went with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to the infielders. Well, you went with the catchers. You went with three.
I did, in part because of how I did the infielders.
Right. So you did Jonah Heim, Kizer, and then you did Sam Hunt.
I did.
Kizer. That's so weird to me because it's K-N.
Yeah.
Kisner?
Kisner.
Kisner. Yeah. Oh, but the N, the silent N.
The first N is silent.
Yeah, that's weird to me.
Backwards.
Okay. So Kisner, and then you got Sam Huff.
Right. Because I think Corey Seager is going to start the year on the injured list.
You think he will end up?
I don't know. We don't see Corey a lot. We got an update from him right at the start of camp, and he didn't know. He didn't seem optimistic. I don't want to say he was being pessimistic, but it sounded like he hadn't done a ton. You know, he had only walked and ridden a bike, and he's in good spirits when you do see him, but I don't know that he's going to make the roster. You know, there's no need to rush it.
I know. I got no issue with that. If he needs a little extra time, you'd rather that be at the beginning of the year.
So anyway, instead of Justin Foscue, I went with Sam Huff.
Okay.
And just because, you know, Bochy mentioned while I was there, the possibility of three catchers. And, you know, they did that in the postseason and late last season with Austin Hedges, but that was because Mitch Garver was primarily a DH. And I don't see that though. Kisner hits the crap out of it.
Yeah.
And in limited time, I think last year he had 200 plus at bats and hit 10 homers. So
yeah,
there's some pop in there. He homered the other day. So anyway, yeah, but now if Seager's healthy, then I think it'd be two catchers.
All right. So in the infield, you've got Nate Lowe, you've got Marcus Semien. You've got third base Josh Young. You have Duran as the opening day shortstop.
Yeah.
Which is pretty well how it's going to go. If that doesn't go, he's hit the ball good in the spring so far. Again, it's very early. That's the way that works. And then your utility guys, Josh Smith. And then you've got, did you put a DH or nothing?
I did outfield DH.
Outfield DH. And then you got Carter Tavares, Adolis Garcia, obviously Travis Jankowski, who signed a $1.7 million deal. And then you did. With the Wyatt Langford?
Yeah, I did.
The Wyatt Langford could be traded out for an extra infielder and maybe with what's his name? If Wyatt continued this path all the way through the spring.
This is the first week of camp. We'll see what happens. That thing could definitely change.
I think that Wyatt Langford is more than likely one of the top nine hitters on this roster. So even with a healthy Corey Seager, I think he's got a chance.
Yeah, I do too.
Okay, guys, nothing else here. Let's get Cody on here.
Kobe.
We're talking about Bradford. All right, guys, we're gonna have Kobe Lewis coming up right after this. Joining us right now is former Texas Ranger great and special assistant to general manager Chris Young. It's Kobe Lewis, big friend of the show. What's going on, Kobe?
I'm doing great. Just got done working out, like I told you guys, just hustling around, trying to get some stuff done before the weekend for the kid. But yeah, everything's good.
How are the streets of Bakersfield? Good?
The streets of Bakersfield are actually really nice right now. We're having great weather. We got some more rain coming in. We've had supposedly it's, you know, El Nino out here. So it's kind of, you know, it's been in between, you know, we've got weekends of rain and then, you know, beautiful during the week. So it's actually really nice.
All right. Good.
Yeah.
We were in Arizona together. It was very nice in Arizona. What were
actually
your
a little warm.
Yeah, it was. I mean, compared to last year was awful.
No kidding, we were cold last year.
What do you have any big takeaways from the time you were there? Did you anybody you liked? Anybody who you're like, oh my god, why is he in camp? Anything like that?
Oh no, I think we've got the right guys in camp. I think the big emphasis is probably, like you guys know. I mean, we all know it's going to be the back end of that bullpen is trying to get it locked down, and because we have so many instances last year that you know, we made games too tighter than they should be and lost some games because of that situation. So, but I think the right arms, we've got the right arms in place. I think the offense, you guys know the offense is going to be crazy again and do what they need to do. But I think the big takeaway right now is, on a lot of minds is right now is probably Langford, you know, so we'll see what happens with him. But, yeah, I mean, I think I needed to be in camp, you know, when these guys were going through rotations. I think they stretched at 10 o'clock and they were off the field by 11. I was like, golly, setting your tee time at 11:30, you know? So, it would have been nice, but yeah.
It is what it is. Yeah. What are your, we talked about Cody Bradford before you came on. What do you like about Cody Bradford? Cause he seems to be doing pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, well, because I think as we all know, I mean, Cody is the type of guy that is never not going to be prepared, you know, watching him throughout the minor leagues and everything else. He took notes on every situation, come in after every inning and jot down stuff and what he needed to, you know, guys he threw, how it felt and all that kind of stuff. So, he's the type of guy I think he's going to continue to improve just because of, his mindset. So, and as you can see, he is performing the way he should be performing. And I think it's just like anything else, being a young, just the comfortability to get going out there every single day or, you know, when he gets the ball, is the consistency. You know, I mean, I think that's what makes a true big leaguer. It's just, you know, if you do have a down day, it's few and far between, you know. So it's just and if you do feel in between, it's being able to struggle through three innings and not give up six, you know, struggle through three innings, maybe get, you know, give up two or three, you know? So, that's the consistency that, you know, I would like to see, you know, especially out of our young guys, including him. So,
yeah, no, you bring up a good point. Cause honestly, I never really remember you having back-to-back stinkers. Or going
I'm sure I did, but
I don't remember it. Yeah. I don't remember it, Colby. I remember you had a long streak your first year.
You
didn't win any games, but you were like throwing seven scoreless, and they weren't scoring you any runs.
Yeah. But that's fine as long as you continue to go out and do your job and put the team in position to win at the end of the day. I mean, that's all you can do, and I feel like I preach that every single time you guys came by my locker after a game. I'm like, I'm not worried about it. We're in position to win, and that's all I can do, you know. And I think that's what any guy takes that mentality is going to go out and perform at his best, you know, instead of trying to worry about it and be a me guy, you know, and you know, where's my wins at, and I'm working for a paycheck. I think at the end of the day, it's about winning world championships. And I think that's what, we have to go out and there's a big target on our back now. And we got to go out there and repeat, you know.
How do you feel about the rotation? Because I know everybody talks about the injuries and that Montgomery isn't back, but four of those five guys they pitched a lot last year. I mean, when you go back and go through the season, it was Evaldi, Gray, Heaney, Martin Perez, who's not there, and Dane Dunning.
And Dunning.
For a lot of the season. And I just think the people who are worried about that aren't connecting the dots. It's the same group.
Yeah, and I think now it's not really some of those guys. There's not that big emphasis on, hey, you got to go out and throw 200 innings anymore, you know. Yeah. So I think there's going to be situations where you can give these guys a break, a little bit of a cool down, you know, especially early in the year, or if we're up late in the year, you know, kind of dial guys back. If you have a decent lead, you know, like, hey, maybe give one of these guys, you know, a 10 day off and let, you know, spot start a couple, one of these guys out of AAA or AA and get them a little bit of time. So, it's just, that's all going to be with the training staff and the management group trying to, the coaching staff trying to manage these guys on innings wise. I mean, and it is what it is. I mean, like when we went to the back-to-back years, you don't get the optimal rest because you're pitched all the way into October and into parts, you know, beginning parts of November. So it is, you know, part of it, but I think as long as you manage these guys and make sure that they're in the early part of the year and the later part of the year is I think we'll be fine.
Yeah. You know, that it is hard to go back to back. I mean, it's a month of extra baseball.
Yeah.
How much time would you take off? Did you take off after 10 on 11?
I only took off from working out. I only took about 2 weeks off, like in training wise. But like when you don't go to the postseason, which wasn't very often when I was there, so which was awesome. I think what was it, the 1 year that we didn't go, was it 14?
Right? 14 when everybody was hurt. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So 14, I took I would take all of October off, you know? So, and then start workouts back in November and then start throwing, in parts of, December and then get ready for, bullpens and stuff like that right before spring training. But, it definitely shortens your rest, but I mean, it's a good thing to have, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
How long in spring training was it before you would get your velo up to where you felt that was where you're going to be all year? I mean, you didn't come into spring throwing as hard as you thought.
No. They were actually joking around this spring about me going out, and I started like opening day of spring 1 year, and I think my velocity was like 83 or 84, and I gave up like in the first inning, I gave up like three homers or something, and everybody was all concerned, you know, like, and then they came in and they're like, "Hey, you feeling all right?" I'm like, "I'm fine, you know, I'm not worried about it, you know," like, so. And then once the second deck comes on and lights, and I mean, it is what it is. I mean, you get that extra adrenaline. And I mean, by the end of spring, I was 90, 92 and ready to rock and roll. So, it's just getting your work done, trying to, you know, I mean, fastball location, especially early in spring, all these hitters know that you're going to try to work on mechanics, get your body loosened up and everything else. And, especially like knowing that you're already solidified in the rotation. It's not like you're out there fighting for a spot. It's definitely a comfort zone, and you can definitely throw a lot more strikes and start to try to nibble around the zone. So, yeah, you're going to get hurt a lot more because these guys know that you're not going to be out there snapping your best breaking ball in your first time out.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So you mentioned Wyatt Langford. I don't know how much you were able to see of him during live BPs and whatnot, but what do you have any? Did you see anything? Did anything grab your attention about him?
I think the calmness of him. He doesn't look like he's really like nervous. He feels like he's you know, he's asking the right questions from what I hear. Going about everything in the right way, working hard. He's not coming in like he's, you know, the first round pick, that type thing. Like it's just his cage awareness, like when he's hitting in the cage and everything else, it looks real simple. And as you guys know, you know, he's got a lot of power. So it's just fun to watch. You know, his takes are real good, and knows his, you know, strike zone awareness is really well. So, but yeah, I think it's just, a situation where, depending on him and how well he does in spring and where he goes, or whether he might even wind up making the ball club. Who knows?
Yeah, I think he will. I don't know. I just,
Jeff's got his first prediction out. He has him making it. So it's, I mean,
it's kind of a feel.
Well, and it's not.
You gonna go to Vegas? Go to Vegas and put some money down on him so he makes some money.
I mean, I would bet
for rookie probably. For rookie of the year.
But yeah, but see, now there's a big deal going around the baseball writers about, you know, all these betting things that we get to vote on these awards now. But we you know, there's a big concern that among like five writers, probably that we're going to violate our ethics and select our ballots based on what we've wagered, and give us a little credit.
Where are you guys wagering, between yourselves, or are you actually going?
Oh, no, yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody's wagering, for one, but yeah. But two, I just think that whoever came up with this idea, I wasn't at the meeting. Whoever came up with this idea, though, they're degenerates or they know a degenerate.
You know, they know somebody's got an issue.
So, but you know, maybe I'll tell a friend to do it for me. I don't know. All right. So you're going to head back to Arizona at the end with the minor leaguers
I'll be
there.
I'll be back out there mid-March. So, yeah.
What do you like about the minor league side? What do you like? Development? What do you like about that?
Yeah, I like talking to them. I mean, even some of the younger rookies and stuff like that in big league campus is like, I like more of the mental side of stuff, the approaches, what they're thinking about when runners in on the bases. You know, the baseball dynamics of it too. But I don't know. Me and Dio talk a lot about them, like being on the road. You know, like for me, it was like, you know, I'd always pack the same pillow that I slept with at home in my suitcase on the road. You know what I mean? You don't want to wake up with a crick in your neck. And then next thing you know, I mean, so it's all comfortability. I mean, I bought the same mattress that I sleep on in the, here at the, in Bakersfield as I did in Texas. So it's like, you know, like it's just those type of things. What else do we talk to him about? You know, it's like the other things is like, you know, the minor league guys, it's okay to be jealous at times, you know, I mean, you know, there's guys that are going to be moving and it's okay to have those feelings. It's what are you going to do with those feelings? How are you going to react from them? Are you going to sit there and dwell on them and it's negative thoughts, or are you going to work harder and try to progress and, you know, go up there and take his job, you know? So, it's just, you know, stuff like that, I don't know. I like to tell a lot of these guys my story, the things I've gone through, you know, the ups and the downs, you know, especially how many times I've been hurt, family situations, you know, to let these guys know that, you know, yeah, you can have a great career and not let a lot of these things affect you, you know?
Yeah. You've got stories. That's one thing. Yeah. That's one thing you've got.
Yeah,
that's one thing.
Cold. And that's the episode, we had some fun ones when y'all were talking about those World Series runs. When y'all,
well, shoot, I mean, just the injuries that he had.
Oh yeah,
going to Japan and all that stuff. I mean, it's pretty good. It should be a book. Told you that. I told you that you should write a book, or I should write the book for you.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, we'll sit down one day with a couple of beers in our hand and get to typing maybe one day.
We've never done that before.
Yeah, ever.
No. There's one more thing. I think we've asked this of a couple. We asked David Murphy. What did the Rangers winning the World Series mean to you after you guys came so close?
You know, me and Dio were talking about it and everything else. I mean, it was like, for me, I was like so happy for the community and so happy for the fans and like and the organization, you know, because I, you know me, I'm just, you know, a diehard Ranger. So, and I just absolutely, but it was like, it was almost because you're a former player and we were there. It was almost a little bittersweet, you know, like we should have had that feeling of running on the field, you know, especially in 11, you know, like, and so it was like, you know, I can't ever take away that feeling that knowing that what those guys felt when they ran on the field and, you know, like, and having that. And I'm not mad or bitter or anything like that, but it was kind of like, gosh, I wish I could have felt that, you know. But
of course.
And but yeah, for the organization, for the fans especially, you know, I mean, they've been waiting so long for that situation, and the ownership group, you know, they took us on, you know, when we were in when nobody wanted us really, you know. So it was we're sitting there and MLB was writing our checks at one point, you know, so,
that's right. That's right.
Yeah. Trying to find an owner for it.
So, let's not forget about that.
Yeah, I know. They won't let us forget about it. Trust me. So we definitely pay our dues. it was an amazing feeling. You know, I mean, especially, I mean, my wife and like, she, I mean, if we're here just at the house, she just has the game on and just so she can hear the background noise, like, you know, when I was playing. So she's, it's that type of situation where I look at it, like if my wife's doing it, like how many other people, especially that are, Texas Ranger fans that were doing the same thing for so many years and waiting and waiting and waiting. And, yeah, it finally, finally came true. So it, was a long time coming, and I'm glad we got it done. And now we just got to go out there and get her done again. Like we did in 10 and 11, you know, I mean, as long as you put yourself in that position, you never know what can happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I always say it as the, you know, I was a fan. So, I mean, I get to do this now is great, but I grew up a Texas Ranger fan. I told Murphy this when he was on, it was like, you guys, though, I grew up going to games. I was an adult drinking beer back when Nolan Ryan was on the mound. That's how old I am. So, you know, the heart, I went through some shit. I mean, I'm telling you. But you guys in 10 and 11 made it seem possible. That was the first time when fans went, the expectation level went way up going, okay, this franchise can get to a World Series and win it. Because these guys went back to back. And then all of a sudden, baseball was different in Texas.
Right.
It's why people are so harsh on JD after that, trying to so excuse me.
Got him checked up.
That's what y'all did. That's what y'all's team did, but it sucks, man. I mean, I know it's great that they won. You got to watch it, but damn. 2010-11 was a lot of damn fun.
Yeah. But I think you said it. I think you said it perfectly. I mean, the level of expectation has been there since we went in 10, you know, like it was like, all right, now we're a winning ball club. We should never lose again. You know what I mean? Like yep. If we have a down year, okay, fine. Go get the guys and we're going to go right back to the postseason again, you know, like, and so, yep. I think that's the expectation and you know, just having those, what is it? It was a rough, since I retired, gosh, I was like, man, until you guys won, I was like, man, I felt like I had a little like curse to the organization. I'm like, I left, and the next thing you know, we lost for 6 straight years. So, so
it's your fault.
But yeah, it was a little rough go, but I think we're back, and I mean, it's just that we have to continue that process. You know, we can't let it be a fluke. We got to be a team that is respected every single time we walk out there on the field, and they're like, shoot, we got to play these guys this week, you know? So
yeah,
I think that's where it has to be every, you know, every week and every year, you know?
Yep. What else you got for him, John?
Oh, so, you know, last time we had John, I kind of went over all your personal stuff when you were drafted, all that fun stuff. I came at some new, different fun stuff. So when you know, first of all, you grew up in California. So who was your favorite team growing up?
The Giants, actually. My brother was a Dodger fan. We always had KTLA. So I watched a lot more Dodger games than I did Giants games. But I was just like going through my cards. Josh Shelton got me all fired up and looking at, you know, baseball cards again. So I had to pull out because he showed me this app where you can just scan the card and it tells you what it's worth, you know? So what do I got? You know? So, was going through some of my cards and stuff like that. And, I have quite a few Nolan Ryans. But my big guy, who I loved was, and of course he's left-handed and, you know, complete opposite of me, but Will Clark was like my guy growing up. And I counted like 80 something cards of him, but,
he was a giant back then.
Yeah. And so, him and Kevin Mitchell were like the guys that I love, the Bombers, you know? So, but yeah, like when we were, what was it? 3 years ago, 4 years ago when we had, all ballpark team or whatever it was that came out, we had, it was like, you know, me, Pudge, Blaylock and all, brought everybody on the field and Will Clark and all these guys. And so, that was, I'd met Will before briefly, but then I got to see him again, and I told him, I'm like, dude, I got to get a picture, dude. I said, you were my guy growing up. He's like, and, you know, Will's like super fiery, you know. He's like, yeah, let's go. You know, come on, man, let's get a picture, you know. So, so that was super cool. I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, I think we're all fans of each other, and, you know, especially me being younger, of course, but getting around, be around one of your idols, you know, as you're older, and you did it. And it was just, it was a pretty special moment for me, but, it was fun.
Hey, so what, when you got
to that was my team anyways, Giants were my team.
Yeah. So when you got to the big leagues, that leads to a great question. What was a player when you got to the big leagues who was somebody you were a big fan of the first time you got to be on the field with them and play against them or face them, or maybe they were just on the other team, or maybe even on the Rangers or whoever. Who was the one that really, you know, you went all Chris Farley on them and couldn't talk good, or, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm on the field with this guy or whatever.
I think like the first time I got to meet Griffey, I didn't meet him the first time because I faced him, but then I met him later. And then of course, Jim Tomei, just some of the guys that, like, when I was still younger, that I was like, these are like legit dudes. And then I'm standing on the mound and I'm like facing them now, you know? So I think, and like Edgar Martinez, I remember thinking, I'm like, dude, facing Edgar Martinez right now, you know? I'm like, this is like kind of surreal, you know? So like Garrett Anderson. And that was like my first, because he was a California guy, Angels. He was my first big league strikeout, and I was like, man, you know, I'm like, I remember watching this guy, and now I just struck him out for my first time, you know? So that was awesome. Kind of, you know, just cool moments, you know, that you'll never forget. And it was just one of those things that I couldn't believe it was happening. And then you get in the dugout and you're like, dude, I just did that. That's kind of cool. You know? So
who's the first batter you ever faced?
Frank Minichino, little Frank Minichino. Remember him from the Oakland?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay. So two more.
I can't even remember the second guy I faced, because I got Minichino. I came in like the sixth inning, you know, on opening day in 2002. I was 22 years old, and Jay Powell, looked over at me, and we were losing like 5-1 or 6-1. And he's like, hey, start moving around here a little bit. And because I was a starter my whole career, but I threw hard, so they stuck me in the pen. Because I had a hell of a spring training, and I'm like, I've never thrown out of the pen, so I didn't even know what I was doing. And so, you know, yeah. I had really good veterans, you know, even though a lot of people don't like John Rocker, Jay Powell, Rudy Cienez, Todd Van Poppel, those guys all kind of took me under their wing and kind of showed me the ropes of the bullpen a little bit. And so, but Jay leaned over to me. He's like, hey, he's like, I start moving around here a little bit, it'd be, you know, probably a good time to get your feet wet here opening day with the packed crowd and everything. I'm like, all right. And sure enough, the phone rings and I get up and I got to go face Minichino, and with a runner on first and second with two outs. And I get him 0-2, and then proceed to walk him because I was doing the thing that Mad Dog hates the most, was trying to get a strikeout instead of just get the out, you know.
Yeah.
So then I get the bases loaded, and then I don't even know who I faced next, but I got a ground ball to short, and then ran out there for the seventh and had a clean seventh, and then they told me I was done. And then that's when I felt like that's when I got in the dugout and my legs started shaking and actually realized what you did, you know.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But I wasn't real nervous when I was on the mound, you know, because it's just kind of one of those things, like you go and do it, and then when you're done, you're like, the realization kind of sets in.
Yeah.
So but
two more. But I get you two more real fun. Quick.
Okay.
Okay. What is your favorite baseball movie?
Favorite baseball movie. I mean, it'd probably be Bull Durham. I mean, I really liked For the Love of the Game, because like when the older he got and when he was throwing it, like he's standing on the mound and I felt like this a lot towards the end of my career. Like when he'd throw a sign down and I'm like, and he's standing there, he's like, all right, this one's going to hurt a little bit. And so, like, you know, like that's the way I felt, you know. He's like, he didn't want to throw the curveball. He's like, this one's going to hurt a little bit, you know. And then, and so that's the way, you know, I kind of felt like I take certain things from, you know, the movies that I felt like that are relatable, you know, kind of like how it happened. Because because I think the opposite, like Nuke LaLoosh is standing on the mound and he's like, and, you know, Costner comes out to him and he's like, hey, why are you shaking me off? He's like, well, because I want to throw him a fastball, you know. He's like, this guy's a fastball. This guy's a fastball. My presence with authority. Yeah, and he's like, and he goes, well, he has, and Nuke LaLoosh says he hasn't seen my fastball. He's like, okay. So So he goes back there and tells the guy what's coming, and he hits a bomb. But that's the way you kind of have to think when you're on the mound. Like, I don't give a crap if the guy's a fastball hitter or he's a slider speed bat guy. Like, I'm going to throw him my slider because I know it's good. I'm going to throw him my fastball because I know I can still beat him with it, you know? And so I like that mentality of it from a pitcher standpoint of going like, yeah, I'm going to beat – I don't care if he's a fastball hitter. I'm going to beat him with my fastball, you know? So so that's like, I think, you know, like you can watch a lot of movies and stuff, and I feel relatable to a lot of them, you know? But yeah. The kids – yeah, the other one was the and we still have the Suburban, and we lifted it and stuff like that when the kids were a little bit younger. They loved to watch The Sandlot. So so we nicknamed our lifted Suburban the Beast. So that's what they nicknamed it, the Beast. Yeah. So
all right, if you're hosting a dinner party, you got the barbecue pit going, you got some briskets, whatever. You can have 3-4.
No briskets out here in California in the Central Valley. We do
tri-tip. Okay, so you got tri-tip going. You can you can bring any three players to sit around, drink beer, and eat your tri-tips, whether they're current, former, whatever. Who's the three guys that are sitting around drinking beer and eating the tri-tips with you?
I don't know. I think I'd like to talk to some of the older guys. I mean, I feel like some of the I'd like to know a little bit more, like sitting around when you talk to your dad or you talk to your grandpa, like there's so many different things and what they had to go through, you know? And I think I would just pick some older guys, and they don't even have to be, you know, like Hall of Famers or anything, you know, like they don't have to be Mickey Mantle or Babe Ruth or, you know, Bob Gibson or something like that. I mean, like it would be those guys and those generations that went through it and just the grind and for so much, you know, so little money and, just loving the game so much and how much they had to work at it, you know? So, I think I would just choose that era of baseball, you know? So,
Satchel Paige, that would be a good one from that
age. I mean, because you hear the stories and everything else, you know, I mean, like, you know, the Jackie Robinson breaking the barriers and doing all that kind of stuff. But even the other guys, you know, like that all kind of went through the same type of process, you know, like just, you know, I mean, I might have my stories, but I would like to listen to like their stories and like, you know, walking on and off the buses and doing the different stuff, you know, like it would just be, I don't know, all those guys that did what they did all paved the way for the guys that are playing now. And I think you should have to remember those guys, like when you're sitting down, like my first year, like I remember sitting there with those guys and they're like, hey, we might be striking. So like, you're not crossing. This is what's happening. You know, like, so all these bargaining agreements and all that kind of stuff, they paved the way for these guys that are making $40 million a year, $50 million a year now. Like, so, I mean, you have to recognize these guys that, put the time in and put the effort in to get the contracts that they're getting now. So you gotta recognize those guys and say hi to them, you know, acknowledge them, you know, I mean, even these, you know, veteran guys that have been out of the game for a while. I mean, it's the old saying goes is that, when they don't ask for your autograph, that's when it's, you know, you feel like you've been forgotten, you know? So, or you don't remember a guy's name. And I feel like every time I see a guy always, you know, that's played in the 70s and 80s and paved the way for me and everything else, I try to acknowledge him and walk up and tell him hi or whatever and introduce myself, just because it's, you know, we all have to do the same thing. And so I feel like sometimes these younger guys kind of forget that, you know, but
that's a great lesson there.
Yeah.
The pay Kirk Flood was alive. Everyone should, but that guy would never have to pay a bar bill as long as he lives. Right. Being the first guy to have the courage to go out in free agency and willing to step away to create free agency. So, all right. Anything else?
No, but man, thanks for hopping on.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Thanks for stopping down and doing this.
Absolutely.
And
we'll, appreciate it, guys.
When you come in town or something, we'll come in and get beers or do something.
And I'll see you next week. I'll see you in a couple weeks.
Yeah, you'll come at the end.
Go crush the wings or something.
Yeah, we'll go to Booty and maybe get in.
Yeah. Sure, yeah.
We'll go. Oh, I won't be there for that, damn it.
We'll go pay the lighting bill in there.
Hey, Colby and I did pretty darn good the other night at trivia. Just
yeah, trivia. You know, hey, well, Raul came through with a big one. So
he came through with a big one. I got the last one, and that kind of carried us into a tiebreaker. So we did all right.
Yeah. Well, the Chevette, what is it? Chevette cat or whatever. The coffee beans or whatever it was. Yeah,
that's the coffee. Yeah, the poop of a Chevette cat.
Yeah, Chevette cat. Yeah.
I keep missing every year. I'm just 5 years old. I miss the booties. All right, Kobe, we'll see you, bud. We'll see when you come into town for sure. I know Jeff will see you at the end of spring training. That's Kobe Lewis, special assistant to Kirk Young. And thanks for coming on. And guys, we're going down in the bus leagues right after this. Kobe Lewis for joining us there. Guys, it's time to go down in the bus leagues. Again, we're going to remind you to hit that subscribe button down there, but especially because of what's coming up with us heading to spring training coming up next week. Minor league camp starts.
Yeah, it does. A lot of them are there.
Right.
More and more by the day show up. But, they'll start to, while the major leaguers are doing their thing, the minor leaguers will also be out there kind of on fields 3 through 6 on the clover leaf way in the backfields. Excuse me. And there's a bunch of them. And then you'll start to see them break into games probably after about 4 or 5 days of working out together and everything. But again, a lot of them are there already going through drills and whatnot. So it's always a good time. It helps the big league club out because there are games. Guys who don't play in the major league games can go back and get at bats. Probably going to see a lot of Josh Young back there. Probably some Corey Seager if he gets to the point where he's
swinging by the end of camp.
You can just go back there and get
lead off every inning,
bat first every inning, and that's just kind of the way it rolls. You don't have any you have rules, but you don't have rules back there. Relievers will work. Some starting pitchers might work. Like, if they don't want Nathan Eovaldi to face the Angels, as an example, then he could go to the backfields and do his work there. Or if he doesn't want to drive to Scottsdale on his day to pitch or something like that.
Sure.
I'm looking forward to seeing some of the guys that a lot of them, like I said, are already there. Sebastian Walcott's there. Gutierrez, this is there, that whole group of young guys that were in low A last year.
I hope Paulina gets there.
Yeah.
I'd like to see him. If he can get there at all.
Paulino Santana.
I want to see him get there. There's a few of those guys back there. Porter, I love seeing Porter.
Yeah.
I want to see him going. Kumar, who's still injured, he's not going to be back till at least
he's there going through the rehab part. You see him every day. And one guy who is playing, who's there and is playing a lot of big league games and doing really well is Cam Colley.
Yeah.
And he's super fast, great defensive player.
Has he been getting in late in games?
Yeah, native Texan. I think he had a triple yesterday. Good for him.
It's gonna be a breakout year for him.
Yeah, he's
probably gonna be at Frisco.
He could be. It'll be interesting to see where they end up placing him because
he
spent about half the season in between high A and low A. And always look forward to seeing him. I know Abby Ortiz is in big league camp, but I'd like to see him in minor league camp playing with 4 at bats, things like that.
Right.
And then on the pitching side, Dane Acker, who's there. Dane Acker apparently has been there since like mid January. I want to see Dane. So there are a number of guys who I want to see. So anybody who's been on our show, I want to see all of them.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't help but do that. I mean, you really get to know these guys and like these guys. Their families will reach out to us sometimes. They love it when they're on. You know what? It is the minor league segment, so I want to give a shout out to someone who turned them in. And that's Ryan Doro. Ryan Doro was a buddy of mine. He was one of the guys. I still love my Ryan Doro story. Kathy and I in 2019 took a summer trip up through going around, and we went to some campgrounds. We went up through Tennessee, and we saw Round Rock play in Nashville. And so then we went up into West Virginia, and there's one minor league team in West Virginia. And I've talked to you about the Toast Man, and you heard guys talk about him. And, we went to that, and that's back when Bubba Thompson and Sam Huff and Phillips and those guys were all, and that single A team was a pretty good team.
Yeah.
Back then, and they were playing the West Virginia Power, who were with, and I want to go back and find out if this was true, if I can remember this or not, but in 2019, I think Taylor Hearn might have been on that West Virginia Power team.
Oh, really? They were a Pirate?
They were high A, I think.
19, the Rangers had him. Right.
Okay.
They traded Kella in 18.
Okay. So it might have been, because I couldn't, but he was with the Pirates before he came here. So I don't remember who the Rangers were playing against, but I was like, I always like to go back and see. I usually keep a program somewhere on that. But anyway, so we were there, but the guy that stood out to me that entire time was Ryan Doro. I'd never heard of him.
Uh-huh.
He had three hits that game, got in an argument with an umpire over a play at second base. And then I ended up getting him on my old pod. He came on and spent, a little time with me on the old pod, and it was fun. And then I wrote the story about him right before you and I hooked up. I wrote a story about him, kind of like, is this a guy like Isaiah Kiner-Falefa? Is this a guy that's coming up, going to end up being a super utility guy, playing a lot and doing all of that? But he turned him in. I always knew he was going to be a coach, and he took a job with Hopewell College, I believe is what it is. He's an assistant coach there, and his wife had their first kid about 2 years ago.
Okay.
So good for Ryan. And he texted me. I texted him, congratulated him. He said it was a fun ride.
Sure.
He was with one of those 30-round picks, came out of little bitty Adrian College in Michigan, grew up in Michigan, and so –
Well, that's good. You know, I mean, it doesn't work out for everybody.
No,
you know,
and he knew what he was going to do. He's going to stay in baseball no matter what. So that's what he's doing.
All right. Well, good for Ryan Doro.
All right. Anything else?
I don't think so. Just
it's going to be more when we get there and have fun.
Yeah. Again, let's go over everything you need to subscribe to. You need to subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is easy to do because I think you just have to push this button right here.
And button down at the bottom.
And then Rangers Today, also easy to subscribe to.
Right.
$5.99 a month, $60 for the year, $35 for 6 months, and there may or may not be a sale coming up here for $48. So, but the deal is sign up. It's $4 or $5 a month. You get great coverage, and you're not going to be disappointed. It's from the big league club all the way down to as low as you can go.
And we got TV star Jeff Wilson, who was on Channel 5.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, big TV spot there for my man Nui.
Would he come to grab you and say, hey, I need you?
Yeah. Yeah. Nui and I have been buddies for a while since I was covering TCU way back when. And anyway, it was good to see him. And he was so excited he bought himself a subscription. So
that's good.
Yeah. So thanks to Nui Scruggs. But look, if guys like that realize the value in a subscription and recognize the amount of content they're going to get that they're not going to get anywhere else, you should follow their suit. So anyway, thanks to our guest, Colby Lewis, my good buddy.
Yep.
He's a good one, you know, and salt of the earth type of guy.
Thanks to Premier Properties. Guys, next time you see us, we are going to be in sunny Arizona. We're going to be in Surprise watching the Texas Rangers at spring training, and we'll put together a few shows from there. But until then, we will see you at the yard.